Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @RightStream and #RightStream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
And welcome to Just Believe Radio on the Right Stream Network. I am your host, Lisa Tarvis, and I am a metaphysician and board-certified holistic health practitioner. I also am an intuitive counselor and intuitive coach and the author of the book, Just Believe. Obviously also radio show host to the show Just Believe, and also co-host to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, which is a women's topic show on Friday evenings. I do all the marketing for the Right Stream Network, which is the network that we broadcast on through Blog Talk Radio, and we have a lot of really great shows on Right Stream Radio. So I encourage everyone to not only visit my website at lisatarvis.com, LisaTarves, but also. Not sure why that happened. Anyway, live radio, everyone. Welcome. Anyway, so I not only visit my website at lisatarvis.com, but also visit rightstreamradio.com, where you can learn about all the shows that we offer on the Right Stream Network. And we have a lot of really great shows, starting with Just Believe on Sunday, Military Monday on Monday, Right Stream Tuesday on Tuesday, and Wednesday we have Family Power Hour. And we're going to have a new one coming up here real soon, we hope. And then Friday we go to, on Thursdays, and then, well, maybe Saturdays. We're not sure when we're gonna host that show, get that show started. We have to, we're working on getting someone lined up to do like a technical show, a computer show, a technical update show on what's going on in the world when it comes to all the electronics that we have and ways of communicating and things like that. So we're going to be doing that hopefully on Thursdays or Saturdays here coming up real soon. Fridays, of course, is Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss with myself and Darianne hosting that show. And sometimes my lovely 19-year-old daughter stops by and helps us co-host as well. She's busy, so doesn't always get there, but that's a fun Friday evening show for the ladies. What else do I want to talk about today? Next week we're doing live psychic readings, of course, because I'm starting to do that every other week now because everybody loves a lot of psychic readings, and I love them as well. They're a lot of fun, and we have so many people interested and so many people getting great, great information from the psychics that we have on that show. I have somebody different every week, and some people are repeats. I have people on that have been on before because they've been so popular and they enjoy doing it. And, it's a really great show. So everybody listen next week for that. This week we're going to be talking with Michael. His name is Michael K.A. Wan, and he's actually local for me. He's from Lancaster, and I'm from the Pottstown area of Pennsylvania, so we are actually probably 45 minutes apart geographically, which is unusual. I don't talk to a lot of people from my area, so this is different and really cool. And I want to definitely bring him on in just a minute. I want to invite anyone who's listening, if you have any questions for Michael or for me during the show, feel free to call the show at 347-945-7246. Again, that's 347-945-7246. If you just want to listen to the show, you can do that, calling that number. So if you're on the computer right now and you've got to run, you can call that number and listen from your headphones wherever you're going, or you can press 1 and actually get in the queue to ask a question. Also, the chat room is open, so if you want to join us in the chat room, please feel free. And I want to take a minute to read Michael's bio because it's very interesting what he does. It's very different and something that you're not gonna see a lot of places. Michael K.A. Wan is a visual artist, craftsman, and of sacred tools, leather worker, soul healer, and teacher. His life work is to align his own authentic self-expression with service to others. It was a long road bringing him to this point, with stops in corporate America, the Peruvian jungle, and the sewers of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. But it was from these experiences and a wide variety of influence, including shamanism, Aikido, we just talked to him about this. I said, I know I'm going to screw this word up, but I had it right. No, whatever. Anyway, and the Western mysteries that gave his inner teacher the raw materials necessary to bring the work together. Everybody, if you're listening, go check out his website right now, because it's actually a really good way to get what he does. And when I'm bringing him on and asking him questions, and his website is www.michaelkawann.com, Michael K-A-Wan, .com, and you can visit him there. I'll type that in the chat room, too, after I bring him on the air, so everybody can use that link if you want to visit his website while we're talking. But anyway, I want to take just a second to welcome Michael to the show before I start grilling him on what he does. Michael, welcome.
Lisa, thank you for having me, and I feel very welcome to be here.
Well, thank you. I'm really glad you're here. I think this is, you know, everybody's so used to, I'm like having my psychic reading shows, and I tell everybody that I'm going to stop having them if they don't listen to the other shows too. there's so much more, you know. I'm a metaphysician, and there's so much more to metaphysics and spirituality than just the psychic side of things, and there's a real healing side to metaphysical work as well, and that's a side that I'm really, really big on, because I mean it's part of what I do, it's part of who I am, and I think through our intuitiveness we can really work on healing people on a soul level, and that's real important to me, and that's why I think, you know, the psychic stuff is great. I love the shows, and they're a lot of fun for me as well as for the guests, but it's also really great to have the chance to, you know, people to be exposed a little bit to the other stuff, if so to speak, in spirituality and metaphysics, the healing side of things. So I wanted to start. I mentioned your website to everyone, which again is www.michaelkawann.com. And I want to ask you a lot of different things, because, you know, as I've been talking, I've been screwing around and getting myself to places on the website that I never even saw before. I don't even know how I got here. I'm looking at the pendulums that we talked about earlier off the air, and a bunch of different things. And I'm like, wow, I don't even know how I got to this page. But anyway, there's so much different things, and we want to really focus on. First of all, I want to start with, what do you do? I mean, you're doing a lot of different things. You do artwork. You design sacred tools. You do healing work. You have classes that you do. Can you connect all that for us and kind of show, tell us about what your vision is and what your work is about?
Definitely, I appreciate the opportunity to be able to talk about it, or to explain it, because it's the context which I think really puts in perspective if you have the right one. So I'm going to take a couple steps back to answer your question. I think, like a lot of us who've kind of felt a calling to that there was more in whatever they were doing in their life, I felt that, and I felt that very, very strongly at a young age, or probably around 20. I'm 42 now, and I went through this period of kind of deconstructing, you know, what culturally and intellectually I had experienced and been taught, and all sorts of great stuff, stuff that had served me. But as I went through that and I stripped away and I got to this kind of raw kind of place where we all are, that kind of center, that true self or that soul, whatever words we want to use that feels authentic to what we would be or what we are, as soon as I emptied away everything to get to that point, and that's a lot of work to get there, then suddenly this stuff started just pouring out of me. And it began with the visual art, the collage work. And if you look on the website, it looks like paintings. I have it art. But all this is cut magazines and cut paper. And I can remember it so clearly the day that I knew how to do this. I woke up and I was doing a papier-mâché project with my, it was probably like four then, my son. And I was like, oh, why don't I just rearrange this paper as opposed to putting it on a papier-mâché balloon, but actually make an image with it. And at that point, this thing happened inside me. And if you look at my work, it just flows out of me. I can't explain it. I just know how to make it. And it's as natural as breathing. And as I started going down that path and saying, okay, because it was a big mental sort of, it was a big mental hurdle to begin to look at myself as a new way, because I did not see myself as an artist. I never put that label on myself. And as I opened myself up and as I became more courageous to go into space, which I had not been to before, it got wider and wider. And then from the collage work, it started going into these tools. Actually, the tools began as walking sticks, and people thought I was crazy because all I would do was make these walking sticks. And then through a variety of experiences, as it related to Aikido, of all things, the walking sticks just opened up to becoming tools. And then as I started making more tools and been working with other practitioners, whether that would be a crystal healer or whether that would be a Mayan elder, these new doorways of knowing how to do things opened up. And the thing which is most interesting is it just feels so normal. I just know there's no training, there's no mistake, there's no pressure, you just know how to do it. And then the same thing came with the leather bags. You may see in some of the pictures on the tools section, I just began making leather bags, and I've never sewn
them
before.
Yeah, I did see them. Saw them.
And so the point of all of this is I went through this process, and as I went through this process, I saw firsthand both it happening to me and how it was happening. And in the same way that I know how to allow this to come through me, I kind of know how to assist others to finding their truth. And I'm not saying that everyone needs to go out and start making leather bags and tools, but I'm saying that we all have this truth and this expression which is effortless and which is genius and which is all of these things and which is unbelievably fulfilling. And what I do with the tools, both the artwork and the actual tools, is it creates the sort of environment for the person to go through that path. So it's, if anything, it's the tools I make are to assist and encourage one on whatever their path to that authenticity of themselves. And then the services which I do are also for that end in mind also, of helping someone to create the right inner conditions so that in the same way that a seed just needs to be planted and it does all the work, when we create the same right inner conditions, the seed inside of us does all of the work. And so as I unfold my seed with my artwork and through my services, then I open up more as I help people. So it's this almost this self-fulfilling sort of machinery, which You know, all parties involved benefit, I guess, is the best way of saying it. That's what we all want to do. We want to serve the highest good, both our own personal and those around us.
Well, I'm looking on the web on your site right now,
okay.
And I'm under, I think, updates, and I'm looking at some of the things, the incense burners, which are so, I mean, they're just so creative and so fascinating to look at. They're just beautiful, and I know you custom make each one of these, so you know they don't always look identical to the picture I would assume. I'm looking at an incense burner. It looks like there's a citrine in there. Is that what that crystal is?
That is correct. That is correct.
Yeah.
So if you look at that, you'll see the there's a ring. There's a circle, and that's a it's a piece of ceramic which I then coat in sand. And if you think about sand, that's individual tiny pieces of quartz. I mean, it's the same thing. And then I sand it, so I'm putting my own energy into it. And quartz is actually what's known as piezoelectric. It can hold a charge that's both a literal and a metaphorical or a subtle way. And I paint that in the colors of our lower, our animal cells, our orange, our red, our
the lower chakras.
Exactly. And that is where we put the incense sits in there, because that's where the transformation happens as we purify ourselves and we move up our chain. And then the ash falls right into, that's an oyster shell, which you see. And that oyster shell, it has this rich, rich kind of energy from the ocean, and it's receptive. It's this mother. And it takes what we kind of shed off as we transform, and transforming is really just another word for becoming, releasing what is not true to us and moving into our authenticity. But to answer your question, no two are alike. Every single one of them is absolutely different.
I want to explain to all the listeners where they can look at what we're talking about right now. If you go to www.michael. K-A-W-A-N-N. It's MichaelKAWan.com. And go under updates, which is where I happen to accidentally go and find all this stuff. And now I have a billion questions I want to ask you about all these different products, because I find them fascinating. I like stuff that's custom done. I love stuff that is, not made in China. You know what I mean? I mean, that doesn't come
exactly.
With something that actually somebody talks to me and they create from my energy. I think that is a beautiful, beautiful way to express yourself and express the person you're working with. And I saw the incense burner, and I love the bag that comes that you have I guess can sell with. I don't know if you sell them separately or together or what.
They all go together. It's a package. It's like I work with someone and I sense them. There's a tangible process because we talk and we communicate, but then the magic happens, like, oh, this is what they need. And when you make an artifact, and that's what they are, they're artifacts, you need to go and the reverence which you can show 360 degrees all around it, just kind of, again, literally and metaphorically boosts kind of the reverence of the entire experience. So when I make these bags and I put so much detail and so much focus and such a joy to do, I know the person I'm making for, and I could feel their energy, and I'm like, oh, this is, and a lot of times I'm like, I don't know what this means, but this, I could not make this design for you. Somehow this is going to have meaning. And usually the meaning comes over time, but that's what half of the experience is. It's the antithesis of the current retail kind of shopping experience. I mean, it's great to go into the Apple store, and that's such a beautiful sort of thing, but, you know, this is the complete opposite. Like, you don't know what you're going to get, and that's the fun, but it's going to be so personal to you.
Yeah, I like that. I really do. I mean, I've had situations where I went to somebody who was a shaman or some sort of artist that also had some kind of intuitive abilities, and they were able to design jewelry and things with your energy in mind. They would have a session with you, and all of a sudden, you know, then 2 weeks later you'd go back and they had created this jewelry that you could or didn't have to buy, and it was basically based on based on your energy and what they thought you needed, and it's really, really cool. I have to ask, because I'm an angel person, about this angel pen. that I saw, again, everybody on MichaelKA1.com, it's under updates, I believe. I found this stuff. It's called an angel pen, and I'm an angel person. I mean, I've been communicating with angels since the earliest I can remember. I don't remember not being able to. So since I was a baby, as far as I know, what is this angel pen and what is this about? Explain this to me, because this one looks like I want to order one right now. Go ahead.
That's a good question. And I really appreciate this sort of feedback, because I'm thinking that I need to there's a lot of things I meant to update my the updates, which I haven't gotten around to, so I'll have to do that now. So
yeah,
the angel pen
These are the situations that we get ourselves in that we're like, crap, I really do have to update that website.
Exactly. It's my wife likes to say, it's a good problem to have.
I get on somebody else's show and I have the same thing going on. They're like, I'm like, yeah, that needs to be updated. That class is over.
That's funny. So the angel pen, that's a really interesting story. And I think that kind of explains, it's the quintessential experience. So a woman who I know, who is an angel communicator, came to me and she asked me if I would make a wand for her grandson. And occasionally when people misunderstand what I do, or maybe the depth of what they do, I'm often asked to make like children's wands, let's say, and it's always very gracious that I was thought of, but that's not exactly, it doesn't fit with what I was trying to do or what I'm doing. And when this woman asked me that, I just had this really strange feeling. I was like, okay, there's something else going on, and I agreed to her. I normally kind of smile and tell someone that I'm a little bit booked up now, and maybe we could talk in a couple months and just kind of move on, but I didn't do that this time. And so she said that her grandson has a collection of crystals, and I asked her to bring them in, and I will sense which one to work with. And so she brought one in, she brought in the bag, and then immediately I knew what to work with. And I started making, and you could see it was rather small piece. It's definitely the smallest piece I've made. It was probably about 5 inches long. And it was there's a quartz point was kind of the cornerstone of it, and there was a piece of wood which I covered in sand, so more of the quartz, and I painted it, and there was a stone on the end. And again, I just instantaneously I know what to do, but I don't really understand what this is for. I'm like, is this for her grandson? I'm not really certain, but I keep moving forward. So the understanding comes secondarily. So I start making the bag, and then all of a sudden I woke up in the middle of the night. I'm like, this isn't for her grandson. This is for Lisa. This is for the woman who asked me to it. And I've seen her work before. Not only does she communicate with angels, but she also does a lot of energy work. And I saw in my mind's eye her using it as she communicates with the angels in a pen-like fashion that she should write whatever symbols or whatever is given to her from the angel she communicates with right into the field of the people who she's working with, her clients. And I could see it happening, and it would just, it all like it, you wake up and you know it. So it was so much fun for me and such a joy that when I gave her the tool, when it actually came time to give it to her, I got to explain to her. I was like, well, you know, ultimately you get to do what you want to do. It's your free will. But if I'd like to share with you the insights I was given, and it's like, this is for you. And this is an angel pen, and this is how you work with it. And I could see the eyes light up, and I could see it when she held the tool in her hand and how it fit. It's the perfect divine timing. I was like, that's it's so what it was, and it was, she knew that as well as I knew that. And when you have that connection, it's, everything is just so so satisfying. It's probably the most satisfying thing which I've experienced, to be able to have that type of connection with another person, both physically by making that tool for them, but then on a much greater plane.
Yeah, and that's what I would think would, you know, when I'm looking at this, I'm like, wow, that's amazing, because, you know, a lot of times when I'm doing healing work on a client, I'll feel like, you know, Raphael or you know, another angel come in and assist me during a healing process, during Reiki, Reiki work I'm doing. I do a lot, I'm mostly chakra balancing, which I think kind of fixes all the problems. If we fix our chakras, we're fixing all the problems within our mind, body, and spirit, meaning that we're fixing any physical or emotional issues that we actually have by you know, cleaning those chakras out and by re-energizing them. So for me, when I saw that pen, I thought, wow, because I use the angels so much to direct me to where the issue is. And I use the angels to direct me when I'm doing a psychic reading. I do the same thing. I'm constantly invoking, you know, I'm constantly asking for angel guidance. And honestly, they do my readings pretty much for me, for the most part. So for me, when I saw that, I was like, wow, that would be a great thing for me to have. And also your pendulums, by the way, which is the next step down here. I use pendulums a lot in my work too. I use pendulums and the angels. And I use angel cards once in a while, but for the most part, pendulums and angels are my tools. And I don't mean, you know, I don't mean that disrespectfully, like saying angels are tools. I mean that they're they're who help me do my work. So I'm wondering, based on that, when you do, if I said I would like an angel pen, is that something you could design, and would it be different for me?
Yes. So using this as an example, probably what would happen is we would have a conversation exactly as we are right now, and you kind of explain how you like to work. And different people have, you know, there's a continuum of how much they want to release. And some people would say, I don't want to give you any input, and I trust that what you do is going to be the right thing. And then other people have the exact opposite, like, this is my sketch, and this is what I want it to be, and I want it to be 4.5 inches long. I typically work much more on the what it's going to be is going to be. We can't force this. It comes through me, just like what you said with your angels work through you. Like, this
right.
isn't Mike who's doing this.
Right.
I've never had any training. I just woke up. I mean, the way I explain it, or what makes the most amount of sense, is I am just in tune with a certain frequency or energy, and this is just how it's working through me.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
And so when we go into this, it's a sacred contract, if you will, because these tools, and I use the word sacred because we're going beyond just this three-dimensional plane. And so when I make something like this for another person, it's coming from beyond, and we can't really drive it. Like, this is what I want to look like. That being said, there's always guidance. So I would ask you, do you have any specific stones, because I like to work with stones a lot, or crystals which have meaning to you? And if you do, you'd be like, yeah, I have some. Or if you don't, which then I would probably go into a process either looking through my own inventory and what feels right, or a lot of times it's so much fun to go to like a mineral show and just have that person's energy in mind and be drawn to what it is that they need for the tool. And it will kind of go from there. And sometimes it would probably be different. So you're saying I want an angel pen. It would be in the same family, but it would probably be different, but it will satisfy the need which brought us together to begin with.
Right, exactly.
And so it's a lot of that kind of like, it's all about letting go.
Yeah, and I think that's so important, because when you say, you know, I always say, when I go crystal shopping, and I actually do call it crystal shopping, when I go crystal shopping, whether it's to a store or a show or whatever, I go in there, and a lot of times I'm attracted to stones that at other points in my life I would have thought were hideous looking or, you know, not something that I would have been attracted to. And I think that when you're crystal shopping, and when you're looking for, you know what, I don't care what it is, what you're shopping for, you're drawn to what you need. You know, just like we crave the foods that our bodies.
Exactly.
You know, like sometimes I'm like, even though my daughter's a vegetarian and my 19-year-old's a vegetarian, I've tried the vegetarian thing. And there were times I was just like, oh, my God, if I don't have a steak, I'm going to lose my mind, you know? And it's just like, and she's better than me at the vegetarian thing, trust me. But I've gotten to a point where I'm like, obviously my body is craving something that I get, some kind of nutrients, some kind of vitamin, something that I'm getting from this meat. So that's how I would define it. So then same sort of thing for when you're looking at crystals. For me, when I go crystal shopping or when I just go to a metaphysical store and I'm drawn to a painting or I'm drawn to a piece of artwork or something, and why, I don't know why I want that, but I know I want it. I need it. I have no idea. This is me most of the time. Where the heck am I going to put that? That's me. I sit there. I'm like, great. That's what I need. Something else to dust. You know, it's like so much stuff in my house. Something else to dust. But with the crystals, I get so drawn to them. And then I sit there and I think, why did I buy this? Maybe 2 months later. But I think, honestly, that it's healed the issue that I had or the situation that I was in at the time, which is why I was attracted to it to begin with. I know that's a little out there, but I really do think that we crave with metaphysical tools, with what you're talking about, what we need at the time. With your tools, I know this is a really long way to get to my question, but with your tools, so, you know, somebody could buy like an angel pen or whatever it is you happen to design for them. And all of a sudden, then maybe a couple months later, think, wow, I don't really feel like I need this anymore. And because it's, you know, it's fixed whatever it was that was missing or whatever was lacking or whatever problem they were having. But I think an important part of this is to remember that just because the problem's fixed doesn't mean you don't need it still. And I see that with, like, you know, you see doctors that, you know, put you on medication. All of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm all better 2 days later. So you stop taking your antibiotic, you know, and then all of a sudden you're sick again because you didn't cure it. You just kind of, you know, band-aided it for a while. So the tools, do you find that most of the people that are buying your things are staying attracted to them and staying, like, knowing that they need them, or do they kind of waffle back and forth? Sometimes they like, oh, I got to be near this thing. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes it needs to be in their energy field. Sometimes it doesn't.
That's an interesting question. The tools are dynamic. The tools change. So we'll go back to this, the angel pen example. So I went and I gave a vision of how this is to be used. But that will only open the door to how it should be used. And so how one uses it will definitely change as one grows. And that's kind of the whole thing, like this whole sort of dance which we do to make the tool. It's so much bigger than just the specific need. Now, to go back to your question about, like, well, how do people use it? So I've made pendulums for people, and they've told me they've never actually spun them, but they keep it with them everywhere they go.
Yeah,
and they say,
right,
just having it near me makes me feel comfortable or good or happy, whatever word they want to use. And I've heard that a lot. So back to when you talked about the word tool, a tool just helps us do things which we can do even without it. I can dig a hole with my fingers, but it's a whole lot easier if I have a shovel. These tools are ultimately, like, we're talking about specific uses, and the whole thing about the tools is they are tangible and they are specific, but ultimately What they do is they're to remind us and to help us connect to our authenticity, which is connecting to our source, which is all of that really kind of like big picture, like almost intangible sort of stuff. So just having the tools around kind of reminds us where our center is. And some people are satisfied with just that. Now, I make tools for healing practitioners. So they use them in a very, very specific manner within their practice, and it changes within their practice. I make tools for personal use, and that's when people might just like to carry them around or they keep them on their altar. It really depends upon it depends upon all variables in the situation, but it's they're really meant to grow with you as you grow and expand on your own journey.
That's honestly the perfect answer. I mean, that's basically, you know, with my question that was all over the place, because, you know, I'm thinking of it as, you know, the way other people feel when they go, you know, like I said, you buy something that you need, you think you need at the moment, and then after a while you're like, huh, why did I buy that? You know, because it's not, but you're right. Something like this, something you're talking about, these tools that you're creating are tools that are going to evolve as the person is evolving. So they're going to change because they're made with your energy. They're made from your energy. They're going to shift and change as your energy shifts and change.
They're literal pieces of art. And so there's something that's so magical that happens when we human beings make something by our hands, whether it's making an omelet or raising a child or making art. When we do something by our hands, there's this other variable that gets added into it. And you know it with homemade food. Homemade food is the greatest way. It's like, I don't know why it tastes better, but it tastes so much better. It's because of that thing which we put into stuff when we make by hands. And these tools, again, they have that quality in them, and they're always fresh and new, because when you see something, like you could look at a painting a thousand times, and it's going to reflect back to you something new, which is going to be where you are at that time, you know, like an ink blot. And so when you look at these tools, and that's part of the whole experience, that's why when I really do the full kit and caboodle, if you will, when I make a stand and a tool and a leather bag, I mean, it's almost overwhelming. It's like, this is just a really big thing. And on one hand, it's like almost impractical. It's like, you know, what am I doing in this modern age with this Inca wand, which is just phenomenal. But on one level, like, it doesn't make any sense. You're like, you know, here I am living in this modern times. But on this other level, you're like, it just feels so right. There's something about it which is beyond, and that's what so much of this work is about, and which I do, is getting out of that it's important, because we're living in this three-dimensional world, to be in this here and now, but we also have to be connected to that, to those other realms, that other aspect. And that's what these tools do also. They provide that opening. They provide that doorway, if you will.
Right. I you know, and that's really, really important. And I think it leads up to my next question, kind of, sort of, in a roundabout way, which would be, you know, on the homepage of your website, you refer to yourself as a transformationalist. What is that to you? What does that mean to you?
So, good question. Looking at my own experience as the model. And I think that's very, very important, because it's important for us to be given information to expand, like, the ways which we can think or analyze or understand experience. But a lot of that is just philosophical. Like, you know, you read it in a book. But to go and look at your own experiences and what you've actually have gone through, there's something a little bit more meatier with that, because you know that what you're saying, there's a truth to it, as opposed to being a neat concept. So as I went through this, my own process, And I shed it away. What I like to say is I got rid of the distortion, and that's what it is. We have this true, no two snowflakes are alike, no two fingerprints are alike, no two energetic signatures are alike. And that energetic signature we each have is a way of thinking of our true self, let's say, or our authentic self. And then through our experiences of living and in any culture and being educated and all the sort of things which we do, we start to pick up all this other stuff, and it starts to distort our own natural frequency. And then we get to a point in our lives where we want to become more aligned with that frequency, and to greater or lesser degrees for each individual. But it is that process of removing the distortion, of becoming closer to your authentic self, to all of that sort of stuff, that is what I call transformation. And transformation, and that's all transformation. Whenever someone goes through that transformation, they're becoming closer to that. So if you've ever seen, like, sobriety shows where people go and they're recovering or dealing with some degree of addiction, and you'll see that the counselors versus this is my own opinion, but you see the counselors versus the doctors, and you see these counselors have actually been addicts, and they're talking to the other addicts in a way that the doctors don't really get, because only if you've been in that in those shoes can you really, really understand what that person's going through. I have gone through this transformation in this very, very great and tangible way that I know what that's like. And I know what those steps are. And through that experience, I want to be able to serve and help other people as they do that. Because it's universal for us to want to become more in tune with that authentic level. And so once you go through whatever your experience, it is part of you. And that's part of me right now. And when I work with people, that rubs off. That's true with everyone. Whatever we are, whenever we work with someone, with a little bit of what we have rubs off on them, and a little bit of what they have rubs off on us. And depending upon one's ability to either forcefully or delicately expend their energy or share their energy with other people is going to be the degree in which that influence would be. And that being said, this transformative process, which I've been through, and when I work with people who are also interested in becoming more aligned with that authentic self, it just kind of, it rubs off. And so that's kind of why I call myself the transformationalist.
Yeah, I think that's great. That sounds, I mean, you hear that kind of word and you, it's kind of a big word. I mean, literally a big word, but it's also... makes you question, exactly. It could be different if I called myself that compared to what you would say, you know, person to person. When we would call yourself a transformationalist, that might be a different definition for each person, you know. I think that's great. Tell me about, and I know this is, you know, you're in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. To me, that's like a hip, scop, and a hop, skip, and a jump. Yeah, let's try that again. Hop, skip, and a jump from where I am. I know you do teach classes. Where do you do them? What kind of classes are you teaching?
Good question. So right now, I've been teaching primarily in the Mid-Atlantic area. And I'm open to expand that. I've been teaching. It's funny. I just started teaching a new class, and it's not even on the website yet. I have teamed up with a crystal healer, and whereas a lot of what I do and my understanding, it comes from a very, very kind of big picture point of view, and that's not always the most accessible way. Like, there's certain people who I know immediately understand or kind of resonate with this kind of lofty type of perspective, which I have. And I kind of like that. And I think that's kind of fresh for some people. But then there's also a lot of people like, well, that's sort of great, but, you know, I need more, something more practical, something I could really sink my teeth in and work with. So I started doing this pendulum class with this crystal healer. And what we've been doing is a two-person class where she explains from her perspective how she uses the pendulum and how it can be used, and her techniques can be applied on a daily basis for non-healers, of ways which she helps to balance energies, identify the different layers within the energetic body, chakra work, accessing intuitive information, all that sort of stuff. So she does a class like that. The first half of the class, she talks about those very kind of like tangible sort of aspects. And then I come in, and she works with maybe a more traditional type of pendulum, probably what most people are used to seeing. If you were to go, and particularly you, Lisa, since you you work with a pendulum, and mm-hmm. but you haven't held one of my pendulums in real life, they're very different because they're heavier and they're larger, but they have a very strong feel. And so I come in with all of my pendulums, and I will start to talk to people about how I build mine. My pendulums are built upon sacred geometry. The strap is broken up on the phi point, or the golden ratio, or the divine cut, as Plato called it. I have half of it is representative of the masculine, and the other half is the feminine. And this is why we access it. We explain about how the rotation of the pendulum, or the spinning of the pendulum, actually ties to the biggest mystery, at least according to most physical scientists, of our physical world, which is, why is it that planets revolve around stars and moons revolve around planets and electrons and protons revolve around a nucleus? Like, what is that force? When you are spinning a pendulum, you are tapping into that same force. So I go into the class and I kind of explain what that means, and then you take that as a concept, and then you begin to boil down the significance. So then you start to recognize, when I'm working with this pendulum, not only is it just this tool that enables me to do the sort of practical things which I need to do in my healing, but then it also reminds me that I am connected to this whole thing, which we call this physical universe, and I am pulling into that same force, that spinning force around a center point of stillness. And I'm doing it from this phi point, and in a balance with the masculine and the feminine energies. And when you really begin to embody those philosophical concepts, well, then it takes this deeper sort of level. So that's one of the classes which we're doing, is that the juxtaposition of the very practical with the very kind of high-minded, and you walk out with this fascinating sort of new perspective of the pendulums. Plus, I bring a lot of the pendulums I have. Like, I have one here, which is I'm holding in my hand, which is a piece of petrified wood. Petrified wood is legally acquired petrified wood, I might add. Mm-hmm. Petrified wood it just contains so much ancient wisdom. And it's, if you think about it, it's rock and it's wood. And so when you spin it and you hold it, it has that sort of quality. But you don't really understand that until you spin a big quartz. And you're like, oh, I can feel how these are different. I have this other pendulum right here, which is a piece of serpentine, local serpentine. Lancaster has some phenomenal serpentine. And it's in this triangle shape. And it is just purely to work with kundalini energy. Mm-hmm. And so when you start to, when we start to work with these different types of pendulums that have different types of qualities, when you spin them, then it's only through experimenting with the different ones and comparing and contrasting, that you can really get a sense of these subtle differences. So those are some of the classes, and actually, let me answer or throw in another one. So I've been doing those classes, but I also do classes which are more about developing our mental capabilities. You know, we go to a gym to work out on our physical body, and maybe we'll go to school or we'll read, and that might, or people do Sudoku to work out kind of that left brain aspect of the mind. But then there's another aspect, our ability to visualize and our ability to project energy, which is very much a willful mental construct. So I do classes where we go through different exercises and you begin to work out these different muscles, and we understand why that's important, and they build off of each other, where once you have gotten to a certain level of capability within visualization and then with projecting, we then begin to work on symbols, because symbols are just such a powerful way to connect and to communicate, because it speaks to the deepest part of our brains. And if you look at our brain as just our processing unit, so I'm working with the deepest part of my processing unit. But then when we begin another class, is the symbol class, to understand about the power of symbols, but specifically how to create your own symbols and then project them and visualize them and do all this sort of stuff, and how they will have a very tangible impact in your life, as anything as it relates to trying to manifest something, to bring something into being, to just being able to better control your own emotional state, or being ways to connect with other human beings when you're just communicating with them, or even doing any type of practitioner work where you are going to have some sort of energetic or emotional bond with the person.
Right. Right. That makes a lot of sense. We're coming to the end of the show, and I want to make sure that you have time to tell everybody how they can contact you, where they can find out more about you, the different social media sites you're on, and things like that. So please take a couple minutes to do that.
I appreciate that, Lisa. The best way to get in touch with me is definitely through my website and to send me an email. And if it relates to the tools, typically it's best not even to have like an idea. If you have a sense that what I'm saying resonates, go with that, and then it kind of unfolds. The more loose, the more open we are, then the truer and the easier it becomes. But then if it relates to anything along the lines of classes, if in the Mid-Atlantic area in the United States, that's usually within my travel radius. That's also the best way to get in touch with me. And I teach the classes anywhere from metaphysical stores. I've taught them in people's classes, people's homes. I've taught them at wellness centers. I've taught them at yoga studios. So there's really no limitation in terms of like the of the facilities of where these classes are taught. And then lastly, and something we didn't really get into was the soul work sessions, and when I work with people directly, and that's again usually just in the Mid-Atlantic area, but it's when I use the tools and we go through this process of really creating an experience where the inner landscape, if you will, it's, if you can imagine that like a snow globe, we shake it up in a way, and then we allow all of those very, very subtle kind of pieces of energy, because at one point it's all, you know, these small pieces of matter, and allow them to fall back into place like a snow globe we shake up. But when we do that and we hold the right intention, we kind of are in the right space through mudras and through working with divination tools and working with the actual sacred tools, all these different sort of things, we allow that seed, which we talked about in the beginning of the show, to really be fertilized, and so it can go and grow the way it wants to, because we can't force it. All we can do is create the right conditions so that what it wants to do, that truth and that authenticity in all of us, can just go and do it in the easiest way and the most graceful way. And so again, that through the website is the best way to contact me.
Right, and that website's www.michael.com. kawann.com. And everybody, take a minute to at least visit it, because you really will find that there's some really interesting artwork on there. There's some beautiful pieces on there that are specifically, I mean, they're pictures that are basically designed to for a specific person in mind, but it gives you an idea of what you can expect to receive if you get work done with Michael. So, Michael, I want to thank you very much for being on the show. I really appreciate it, and I think what you're doing is fantastic and incredibly interesting, and I hope that a lot of people hear about it and start to understand what it is you're doing and the value of that type of artistic creative talent that is rare and definitely very beneficial for us as humans. So again, thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, Lisa, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much, and I will definitely be in touch with you soon, and hopefully you'll hear from a few of our listeners, and they'll want to get more information on what you're doing, because it is really, like I said, something interesting, and everyone can find out more by visiting www.michaelkawann.com, and that's Michael, MichaelKawann.com. So thanks so much for being on the show, and I'll be in touch soon. I think I'm going to want one of those pendulums or maybe an angel pen. I love them. So thanks
Excellent.
So much for being on the show.
Take care, Lisa. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye. All right, everybody. That's our show for today. Again, Michael's site is MichaelKawann.com. And definitely, read up on what he's doing. It's interesting, not only the tools, but the classes and his healing work. So please feel absolutely visit that. And visit my site as well, Lisa Tarvis.com, LisaTarves.com. You can visit my site. You can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, I don't know, about all those sites. And find out about all of our guests on the Rightstream Network by visiting rightstreamradio.com. Find out about all our hosts and all our shows and everything we've got going on the Rightstream Network. So you can do that by visiting rightstreamradio.com. And anybody who hasn't picked up a copy of my book, Just Believe, it's on sale at Amazon, Barnes & Noble's. I think the cheapest is Amazon right now, last I saw. Amazon had it on sale, and you can find a copy of Just Believe by me, Lisa Tarvis, on Amazon, downloadable or a physical copy. And and next week again, I want to let everybody know. Next week again, we will be doing psychic readings with a expert psychic. So definitely start calling in. Again, if you listen to the show, you get the scoop that if you call in about 6:45, I start taking calls about 6:45, 15 minutes before the show starts, and start lining people up. So I don't tell that to people on those shows, but on these shows, on the ones that I'm not doing psychic readings on, I do let people know that if you call in a little early, you're more likely to get on. We get tons of listeners every week that we're doing psychic readings, tons of callers and lots of listeners. So anyway, I appreciate everybody listening. It's been a fantastic show, and I really enjoyed it. Again, you can, if you are an expert in the fields of spirituality, holistic health, metaphysics, the paranormal, if you're a psychic, medium, whatever, any of those things, please contact me via email at lisa@lisatarvis.com, and I'll definitely have a conversation with you about getting a spot on my show. Booking, I think, the end of June, beginning of July right now. So definitely give me a shout out and let me know if you are interested, if you're an expert in one of those fields or know of an expert in one of those fields. We're always looking for new and interesting guests on the show. So again, thank you everyone so much for listening to another episode of Just Believe. It's not really an episode, right? It's a show. But Just Believe Radio and on the Rightstream Network. And I really appreciate everybody's listening and tuning in every week. The show is, again, on 7 o'clock on Sundays. And Sunday evenings, Eastern time. And I will talk to everybody next week. Thanks a lot. Bye.